the March 25th, 2013 Monroe Planning Commission meeting. Kim, would you take the roll, please?
Sure. Chairman Christensen? Commissioner Demarest?
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen?
Here.
Commissioner Rodlin?
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Here.
Maybe we know that Commissioner Christensen is excused.
Now we have time for comments from citizens on issues not on the agenda. Does anybody want to speak this evening? Okay, there are comments from citizens this evening. Next item on the agenda is approval of the March 11th, 2013 minutes. Discussion.
I have a comment. First, I certainly think I agree with the minutes as written, but just in light of the fact that we're taking a little different approach in the minutes as far as what was the phrase that was used, they're more abbreviated, for lack of a better word. Just as I read them this evening, I got confused by the on page 2 of 3, just where it talked about the vote on, or the straw poll, rather, I should say, on the issue of the rezone. I think it would help me and perhaps others who were looking for minutes if we vote when there's a split vote, identify who voted for or against. And just as a general practice, I believe city council does that in theirs, and that way both for us and looking back at it, if we happen to have a momentary lapse in memory, or for those from outside this chamber who's looking at it, there's a little bit more information. It probably wouldn't take a whole lot of time to include.
We can certainly add that to these minutes and from here on.
If there's no opposition to that, I would certainly encourage a motion or support a motion to approve the minutes as written with that one modification. Maybe there's two, I'm not sure. There were two also on the sign heights for these minutes and those minutes going forward.
Sir.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing on sanitary sewer extension. And a brief introduction is the City of Monroe is reviewing policies and development regulations for extension of sewer service beyond the city limits to address future growth in the unincorporated urban growth areas and avoid development at rural densities. The public hearing is now open, and I'd like a staff overview from Brad.
Okay, thank you. This item was brought to the Planning Commission for an introduction at the February 25th meeting. As this could be considered to be a development regulation, a public hearing was scheduled and advertised for tonight's Planning Commission meeting. An environmental review of the proposed changes was conducted, and a determination of non-significance was made on February 25th, 2013. Expedited review from the Department of Corrections was, I'm sorry, Department of Commerce, was requested on February 28th. The Department of Commerce granted the city's request for expedited review on March 12th, 2013. The 15 working day threshold determination appeal period ended on March 21st, 2013. No comments or appeals were received. The purpose of the amendment to the Monroe Municipal Code is to provide for sanitary sewer service within the entire urban growth area. This is necessary to assist with meeting the population allocation that is assigned to the Monroe urban growth area without expanding the urban growth area or increasing the density within the current city limits. With the provision of sanitary sewer service within the unincorporated parts of the urban growth area, property will be able to develop at the densities allowed by Snohomish County rather than larger lot sizes that would be needed to provide for on-site sewage disposal. Tonight, the Planning Commission should take public testimony on this issue, discuss the issue, and direct staff to bring back findings and conclusions for a Planning Commission recommendation of approval or disapproval of the proposed code changes. This issue is scheduled to be have the recommendation made at the April 8th Planning Commission meeting. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Commissioner Gavros.
Brett, you and I talked briefly before the meeting about the language in the interim ordinance that's included as attachment one, talked about how one of the reasons for that interim ordinance was that the county regulations would allow greater density than the city regulations. And I was asking if the same applied today. This was a few years ago, obviously, that was adopted.
Correct. Probably not. At that time, the plan was that everything that when things were annexed, it was decided to be, they automatically come in at 9,600 square foot lots. Since that time, the city council has adopted pre-annexation zoning regulations for at least the Roosevelt Road area, I'm sorry, Roosevelt Ridge area, which is at the west side of the unincorporated UGA. And they've split the area between 9,600 square foot lots and 6,000 square foot lots. The county right now has the entire area in the Roosevelt Ridge area as 7,200 square foot lots. So it probably evens out to be about the same. I do believe that the eastern portion of the unincorporated urban growth area is, there's probably some of it that is larger than what the city currently plans on doing at 9,600, but I'm not sure. I'd have to go look. If it's not, it is also 9,600 square foot lots in the county.
Okay. Does the county have some sort of equivalent to our PRD that we could see down up there where we would even end up with smaller lots?
I don't know. I did look. I know they allow shadow planting and things like that, which is what happened in the Roosevelt Ridge area now. But I don't know what their planned residential development regulations are.
So there may be some, though, that could perhaps achieve a greater yield and smaller lot.
There might be. Just like there would be if it was annexed to the city.
Well, and that's what I'm asking, whether something would be similar to what we have, or would we end up with something dramatically different, perhaps?
I do not know.
Okay. We can check and see what the county has in terms of regulations similar to the PRD.
Okay. And then I also asked you, Brad, before the meeting about what would ever encourage these areas once they developed into the county to annex to become a part of the city of Monroe. And I think you responded to the fact that the more favorable utility rates.
Favorable utility rates for both water and sewer. Water rates are 1.5 times in-city rates for out-of-city customers, and sanitary sewer rates are twice as much for outside city limits.
Okay. And the process, I understand that we're going to have a public hearing tonight, and in 2 weeks we'll be coming back for a recommendation?
Correct. And that's much as the same we did with the Roosevelt Road rezone, though we would like direction from the Planning Commission on which way the findings and conclusions are aiming for at the end of the public hearing.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brad, as I read the conclusion that was given to us of code 13.08.240. I don't know if this is what came up in Renton, but the language of this...
Is this the... Which attachment are you doing?
It's just a page and a half.
Attachment one? Okay.
Okay. That the city is trying to call the shots on a lot of development standards and what the plats look like, how they're developed, etc. Even though they're going to be developed under Snohomish County standards. So is there an interlocal agreement that will get executed that will direct that?
No. Attachment 1 is what the regulations were prior to their expiration. The attachment 1 is the current regulations, which are not enforceable anymore.
Okay. And that's because of the rent case?
Because of the rent case that said if they're inside a jurisdiction, the jurisdiction's rules prevail. So that is no longer able to be enforced. The city either has, and what the city did temporarily between 2008 to 2010 was prohibit the extension of sanitary sewer service outside city limits. The current proposal is to, which is attachment three, which is the new regulations to allow for sanitary sewer service to be served outside city limits.
Now, I see in perhaps this attachment two that that part of the code is crossed out. And so there was, you gave us another attachment with the new proposed code. I don't think I got it.
Attachment three is the new proposal.
This one? Okay. I don't think I saw it. All right. Thank you. Let me ask one more question then. Has the proposed code been passed by the city attorney to indicate whether or not they feel it is going to pass muster now? Or how did that code come to be written?
It took out any reference to any requirements
that would be imposed,
that by the city on development outside city limits.
Okay, now I understand. Thank you. Any other questions, discussion?
Yeah. Brad, controlling the sewer system's financial part, outside the city limits, which is another water district, how do you control that?
There's several ways to do that. The city council also has us looking into that. Is the easiest way to do it, well, the least cumbersome way to do it, I guess, is to have the city take over the water system also. Barring that is to enter into a three-party agreements with the owner of the house or the occupant of the house and the water service provider that allows the city to read and shut off the meter if they don't pay the bill. The most complicated one is to install a second meter after the first water meter when it's owned by the water system, when it's owned by the sewer system,
okay,
that we can turn off.
Thank you.
Is the water district amenable to that?
We're discussing it with them at the moment.
Okay.
We have talked to them in the past, and it's sometimes yes, sometimes no, but they've had some administrative changes there recently, and so the subject has been rebroached with them. And they, I forget what they, they're having their annual meeting soon, and so after that they'll give us a response on if they are interested in that.
And if they say no, is this kind of a moot point then?
No, because then all you do is enter into the third-party agreement. You have the two other options. Third-party agreement, which allows us to turn off their water meter if people don't serve the pay the sewer bill, or the other one is that we install a second meter, that is the sewer consumption meter, versus and then which the city controls in the game and can then turn off.
Thank you. Okay.
Question again, Brad. It says here a no protest agreement for annexation on the construction of these developments.
That's the current regulations that we're getting ready.
Okay.
At this point, we are to open the public testimony portion of the meeting. I don't have an indication that anybody has signed up. Is there? Nathan Mesh?
Nash.
Excuse me.
I seem to have an opinion on everything, so it's, I just figured I'd write my name in case I just wanted to talk. I'm actually, my family moved into the area.
Can you come up to the podium?
I got Steve Larder. Okay.
We need your name and address for the record.
Yeah, it's on there. I don't know what it is. I think we just moved into the area. It's Nathan Nash.
Is
So it might work.
Yeah.
12609 182nd Drive Southeast, Snohomish, Washington. So we're just up behind the fairgrounds. And I was just curious to know what the cost would be, what the feasibility is, because for me, and owning the area and the property, I've talked to several of my neighbors. They are interested in possibly connecting to the city sewer. And for us, one of the biggest, you know, discussions was going to be cost, timing, and other requirements. It sounds like the monthly fee of the sewage, the fee for the sewer, would be basically twice as much within the city for those of us outside the city limits, correct?
Correct.
All right. So with us being outside the city limits, even though we're, I think, surrounded by the city, that same regulation would apply, correct?
Correct, as long as you're outside city limits, yes.
So what would the cost be to the public in that area? Okay. Would the actual residents incur any fees for the digging, trenching,
yes,
and piping?
It would all be on the residents of the area.
Do we know what that cost is yet?
No.
Okay. Do we have a date of when that might be available?
It will never be available unless someone wants to put it in and hires a contractor or a design firm in order to put it in.
Okay.
The city will not be extending the sewer.
Okay. So it's a private decision?
It's the homeowners, yes,
okay,
who are up there. So we're not going to be putting it in and then making you hook up to it sometime in the future. So if all your neighbors want to do it, then we will allow them to connect to our sewer system.
Okay. Perfect.
Just backing up to Commissioner Demarest's question about PRDs, the Snohomish County allows for a 20% bonus when they do a PRD, which is less than what the city allows. The city allows a 30% for 9,600 zoning or larger, and a 25% for the smaller zones.
One question. So these regulations are for new annexations, new homes that are being built in areas like Roosevelt, and don't apply to if you annex anybody else?
They don't apply to annexation at all. This is allowing sewer service to be served outside the city limits. So if people who lived up Robin Hood, you know, past the fairgrounds, there's a group of them wanted to hook up to sewer, they could apply to the city, you know, submit plans to the city, and the city would approve the plans, and then they could hire a contractor to put the sewer line in. Or they could form a local improvement in district.
I need to interject. We need to close the public testimony and further discussion. Is there anybody else who would like to give public testimony tonight? Then I would entertain a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to close the public testimony portion of this hearing.
And a second?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Rodman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Commissioner Demarest.
Brad, going back to your added additional information there on the Snohomish County regulations.
Yes.
Does Snohomish County allow for a compensating decrease in lot size in a PRD, or whatever they call it? Maybe 20% bonus to get going smaller on lots?
I would assume so, because that's how you get them.
Get space.
Get more lots on the same space.
Any other discussion, questions? Mr. Robin?
Yes. The PRDs out of the city now, would they be the same standard as in the city or with the county? I have a problem with the county doesn't require sidewalks and so forth.
Actually, the county does require curb gutter and sidewalks.
They
yes.
do now.
Yes, okay. In fact, there's actually in the Roosevelt Ridge area, there is a 10-lot short plat or plat with half-acre lots that has curb gutter and sidewalk sitting there with no houses on it right now.
They didn't used to have that.
They didn't used to have that, no.
Thank you.
Brad, I want to make sure I understand the correlation between ERUs and population. Just give a small dissertation on that.
It depends on what kind of ERU you're talking about. There right now is an equivalent residential unit is a single family house, and that is assumed to be the consumption or the discharge of 130 gallons of wastewater per day. And based on the census, that is about 2.83 people. So those are all gross averages because, you know, some families are smaller, some families are bigger. Some people use more water and some people use less water, but as an average for the city, it's 130 gallons per day for an equivalent residential unit, and a single family house has about 2.83 people in it.
So in light of that, by 2025, you have 14,847 ERUs.
Mm-hmm.
I realize there's commercial issues there, all,
yes.
but roughly, based on your experience, how many people could be supported by that number of ERUs?
Approximately 27,000.
27.
Yes.
So it's pretty close to the allocation
yeah.
that's been assigned to the city.
When I did the calculations, there was about 140 ERUs or 140 people less or more capacity than what the allocation was.
Okay. Now, the total build out of 23,524, does that require an expansion of the infrastructure?
Yes.
Okay. And is that accommodated in the design of the plan?
The plant would have to be expanded, but it is anticipated that that will happen. And in fact, because there's growth, it hasn't been happening as fast as we thought it was, so there is the ability to install an additional primary clarifier and other things like that to increase the capacity.
So this allowance has been made?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay, I just want to understand this. So right now, if growth happens outside the city limits, though they get their sewer and their water from Snohomish County. Is that correct?
No. They don't get sewer.
Okay.
And they get water from whatever water service district or provider they have. So if you're over on Ingram Road in the urban growth area, but outside city limits, it would still be the city of Monroe because our water service area is out that direction. Okay. If you're up Robin Hood Lane, you don't have sewer. You have an on-site sewage disposal system or septic tank, and you get your water from the Roosevelt Water Association.
Okay.
This is the only thing the county provides in the utilities area is stormwater and roads.
Okay, so if we change this to extend our water and our sewer, how is that going to? Does that affect any of these areas? Or do they still have to apply, they still have to form their own committees, that kind of thing?
Well, they'll be able to ask the city to hook up to our sewer system if we change the rules when they're outside city limits still. They will still have to go to Snohomish County if they want to develop their property. So Snohomish County would still govern how the plat is done and what the lot sizes are and setbacks and all that kind of stuff, just like they do now. The only difference is, the major difference is that rather than having to build larger lots in order to fit a drain field on them, which right now is a minimum of 12,500 square feet, they can actually build to the density that's allowed by Snohomish County Code.
Okay.
Which is either 9,600 square foot lots or 7,200 square foot lots.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Brad, I read in Monroe, Washington Public Utility Information and Rates that someone outside the city limits would have to pay $145.44 for the sanitary sewer portion of their utility bill.
Correct.
Has that stood up to legal challenge?
Not specifically for the city's sewer rates. The additional charge for water has actually been tested in the state and has been upheld. Not specifically for the city of Monroe, but it has other places it has been. And we've actually, last time we did our rate study, we had a long conversation with our rate consultant about that, and that has been upheld in other places in the state.
So what was the ruling? What was the nature of the ruling? It said that that was appropriate because it just cost the city somewhat more to provide water that far away from its centralized infrastructure.
That's basically the justification for it, correct?
Okay. And so why is the sewer 100% increase and water 50% increase?
Because the city council wanted to do it that way.
Okay. So this number results from some action they took?
Yes, the city council decided that, yes.
Okay. Is there flexibility in these rates?
As in?
A reduction to perhaps encourage folks to use our utilities?
That would be something that the city council could entertain, yes.
And that would be the end of it, or would it be subject to further jurisdiction?
No, only the city council. The Utilities and Transportation Commission doesn't apply to municipal utilities.
Okay. Any further questions, discussion?
I just have a comment, I think, more than anything else at this point. Brad, I can certainly see the benefit of doing this. Mm-hmm. From the perspective of getting the development within the UTA at an urban level and making sure the development that takes place in that area is on sewer. I like the old ordinance. It's too bad the courts didn't. Mm-hmm. Because what really concerns me with this is that once this change is adopted, assuming that a developer agrees to the financial terms set forth by the city with respect to the sewer itself and the sewer extension, the city has absolutely no control, from what I'm hearing, over what takes place.
Correct.
So the county could, in fact, change the zoning of those areas within the UGA, or they could change the development regulations. And that makes me nervous. Because I think that the city will be providing a mechanism here that someone or something can choose to act on, and we really don't know what the outcome of it's going to be. And quite frankly, at this point, we don't even know whether there's a workable way of doing it that's reasonable with respect to the water. It seems to me that before a recommendation is made, it certainly seems that before the council acts, knowing at least that would be helpful. And of course, that could change too. I mean, they could say one thing one month, they could have another meeting a year from now and change their position. Mm-hmm. So that's where my hesitation comes from. More than anything else, and anything that you or other staff members can provide to help relieve that somewhat would certainly be appreciated between now and 2 weeks from now.
One comment right now is that the time it would take for them to change their regulations, the city can be changing their regulations to not allow sewer outside city limits if it's felt that whatever's going to happen outside city limits would be detrimental.
Okay.
That's fair.
So it's a chicken and egg thing.
Yeah. I mean, we have, there are zoning designations right now and design standards that exist in the county right now. And that's what we're working on.
May I ask Mr. Sachs a question? In your experience in the county, can you give us any idea of how these sorts of actions tend to go, like examples?
Well,
the county is always going to ask the city for comment if they're going to change the designation in that property outside, whether it's regulation or whether it's the zoning designation or land use change. So we'll always have that opportunity for comment. That said, we have absolutely zero control over what is eventually done. That power rests 100% in the county council. So
so there's no input from the city that would change how a certain development would look or be oriented or density?
That conversation has been taking place ever since GMA came into play. It's probably the largest ongoing argument amongst the planners. Okay. The planning community would love to have 20 different sets of development regulations for 20 different UGAs to match 20 different cities' requirements. The county is reluctant to go that direction, to say it very mildly. So I don't think that's going to change. The idea is to encourage the cities to annex those properties and bring them into the city's jurisdiction now. And to a certain degree, extend sewer outside the city limits into the UGA. That's one of the levers that the cities had used in the past, which is no longer an acceptable option.
Have there been any disasters?
I can't say there's been any disasters.
Okay.
there's been comments from a lot of the cities, and that it forces them then to meet their planning goals with a denser infill. Because their UGA has been completely consumed with quarter-acre lots instead of something a little tighter. And the cities, I know for sure, do not like rural clusters. They truly don't like that type of a development in their rutas in particular. So, yes, there's been friction.
Commissioner Demarest.
Jeff, you led into another question I wanted to ask, and I wasn't going to use the word disaster, but when I think of this sort of approach, I think of Bothell and I think of Lake Stevens, both of which, as I recall, had pretty dramatic development outside their city limits within the UGAs, which were fairly large. And I'm just curious as to what sort of experiences those cities had as they move forward over the years to where they ultimately did annex those properties, which is very similar to what we would be looking at here. So any feedback that anyone can bring on that would be appreciated as well. Jeff, you mentioned frictions.
Well, the friction comes into the road design standards. The county road standards are different than most city standards. Curb gutter sidewalk standards may be slightly different and not match up to a city standard. Stormwater requirements may be different in the county than they are in the city. All those requirements, once the annexation takes place, the city then takes ownership of a system that wasn't built to their standard, and that causes problems. In this case, we would be taking ownership of roads if in an eventual annexation. The sewer lines would be built to our standards, of course, outside if they want to hook into our system. But those are the trade-offs that you have to take.
So we have annexations, for instance, by assessed value, land area, ownerships, etc. So this essentially becomes an annexation by utility, in that there's a development, there's 200 homeowners up there. It's done under county standards, and everybody realizes we can cut our utility bill by 60-80% by annexing. All in favor say aye, and the annexation happens. Is that what we're...
They vote on it.
Yeah, but that's what we're...
Well, only if the city will allow it.
So
annexations are one of the very few completely discretionary actions of a city. So the city is under no obligation whatsoever to allow an annexation.
Even if it's in the UGA?
Even if it's in the UGA.
Okay. Brad, I have one more question for you. Are there any benefits that will accrue to the city's infrastructure as far as looping with Roosevelt Road in this area that we're talking about, up off of, you know, Robin Hood. Is there a plan to loop at least the water over to Roosevelt Road from this area?
Well, yeah, right now the two water systems are completely separate, so there is no plan to do any tie-ins of the water system, and sewer systems don't loop. It's all straight downhill.
Right, but I'm talking about the water. So yeah. Then you'd have to drill the SR2 bypass right-of-way, so that sort of thing.
Yes.
Commissioner Governors.
One last one. There's a development going on in this area, right, and I believe by Housing Hope. Do we know what size those lots are?
Okay. I don't know about that.
So they would be on septic, though?
I would assume, if they're going on up there, yeah.
I don't think it's up there.
I thought there was...
It's here. I think it's here in town.
I thought there was a development...
They own up by French Creek Manor, but it's quite a ways out.
So it's outside of the EGA?
Yeah, it's north of Trombley. I know that, so...
Okay, well, I'm not sure who's doing that out there.
It's across from the French Creek Range, which is only about it's way up.
Yeah. All right.
Think any further questions or discussion?
I just have one comment. I appreciate your comments, Dave, but I see some value, some opportunity and source in this sewer extension outside of city limits. We have, as you see, we have a finite supply of land area. Theoretically, we have the land capacity to meet the population protections, but without the extension of sewer, the disaster of source that I envision is that these areas would develop as maybe 3 units per acre, maybe less, maybe just 1 or 2 units per acre, which will seriously impact the capacity of what may be developed with sewer at 7,200 square foot lots or slightly higher density with bonus and so forth. I think this is the best way to offer an option for full, what I'll call the highest and best use of the UGA area to build our residential capacity. You have to think about not in terms of just the city, but the UGA as well. So I do see some value in this conceptually to prevent an underbuilt UGA. And that really is a transition zone to the area beyond the UGA, which may be a half an acre or 5 acre lots. And in case of Roosevelt Ridge, annexation is not a viable option. We're resoundingly defeated at an election. So this is in some ways, a response to that, to allow some reasonable development.
I said one last question, guys. What happens to the existing homeowners if a sewer line is put in front of their house down the road by the developer? Do they have any obligation or financial burden imposed by that if they choose to not hook up?
Historically, no.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
The city has not required anybody to hook up to sewer when it goes past their property unless their septic system fails, and then if you're within 200 feet, you have to hook up. There is, however, a provision in the city code that says if the city clerk sends you a letter that says sewer service is now available, you have to hook up. They have 90 days to hook up. The city has never done that.
I can see why the city might not want to do that, but I guess I'm concerned as to why it would even be in the ordinance in the first place. What section is that, Brad?
1308020. The owner of all houses, buildings, or properties used for human occupancy, blah, 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 in which there is now located or may in the future be located a public sanitary or combined sewer of the city is required at his expense to install suitable toilet facilities therein and connect such facilities directly to the proper public sewer in accordance with the provisions of this chapter within 90 days after date of official notice to do so.
And what's the rationale behind that?
There are some people who feel that there should not be septic systems anywhere. And then everybody, that septic systems are pollution-generating things, and they should not be allowed within city limits. I don't feel that way myself, but there have been people on the council in the past who thought that the city should be more aggressive in eliminating septic systems in the city limits, such as the streets that are off 179th.
So this would only apply... instance that we're discussing would only apply to anything that's in the city. It would not apply to property that's in the UGA.
Currently,
I'm reading the second line.
Situated within the city, yeah. So you can claim that it doesn't work that way.
Okay. But even that, if a developer also ran sewer, I guess the rest way up 179th to get up to this area, mm-hmm. they probably would be going by some developed properties.
They could, yes.
Probably on septic at this point.
And then if their septic system failed, the health district regulations say that if you're within 200 feet, you can't replace, you have to connect.
And I certainly, as you well know, understand that from my mother's situation over here. And I have no problem with that. I think, because I know that there's an appeal process council for hardship. Mm-hmm. If someone can come and make an argument of hardship, the city can choose to waive that requirement and allow them to repair their septic if the health department will allow it. But this is a different situation. Someone's got a perfectly fine septic system, and the city could come in and say, 90 days, go out and spend 15 grand to hook your property up to the sewer.
Correct. Only the city limits, though.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I could be more supportive of the proposal if that would change. I don't see the rationale for that. So any feedback you might give us in 2 weeks on that would okay. be worthwhile for me.
Any other questions or discussion? Oliver, do you have any?
Just one comment on the development outside of the county. Just like anybody else, the city is able to comment on environmental checklists, you know, threshold determinations and things like that to suggest additional mitigation measures that could be put on a plat outside the county.
All lines clear. Can I entertain a motion then to close the public hearing?
Close.
A second. Motion by Commissioner Dirksen, seconded by Commissioner Demarest to close the public hearing on sanitary sewer extension. Any further discussion? Commissioner Demarest.
I think staff was asking for some sort of direction as to what direction they should go as far as what they bring back us in 2 weeks.
Correct.
I, for one, am on the fence at this point. I'm not prepared to commit either way. I'd like some more feedback on the issues raised this evening.
Are you clear on the issues that you feel need to be raised as staff?
Number of lots, lot size, and PRDs.
Okay. Frictions between these areas that develop outside the city and potential impacts on maybe some experiences that Bob Lake Stevens had, would they do it again? Mm-hmm. The sewer issue of connection, if it runs in front of your house and you have to be in the city limits, and the water issue.
Okay.
It seems to me that it would be premature to act on this without knowing that those are waters going to cooperate. Because I think the double meter approach, while it is practically, it's feasible, mm-hmm. it's just going to add cost, and mm-hmm. it's going to add maintenance, and it's not a good way of going. I'm sure you wouldn't like to see it.
Right.
It's full of pitfalls, I think. You said three options. One, let the city take over reading the meters.
No, the city take over the water district.
It's a good source of revenue, I'm sure, for the district.
Roosevelt allowed the city to turn off their meters for non-payment, and the third one is the double meter situation.
It would be nice to know where they stood on that.
Yeah, and I really doubt that we will get an answer from them, because their board only meets once a month, and it's taken 20 years to get an answer out of Sky Meadow Water Association.
Is there some provision that when there is a water district in a UGA that is a different water district from what's inside the city limits, that once there's an annexation into that UGA, that they have to relinquish that portion of their system to city's control?
Yes, there is. But the problem is that Roosevelt is not a water district, it's a water association. And those rules don't apply to water associations. They only apply to water districts. Because okay. water districts are a government entity as opposed to a private corporation.
And so therefore, any participation by them in this would be voluntary?
Correct.
So that's where I'm at this point. Thank you.
Anybody else? Commissioner Robin?
Yes, but doesn't the city of Monroe sell the water to the district?
No. We sell the Sky Meadow Water Association,
okay.
not Roosevelt.
Okay. Then we will move on to the next item on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me.
Sorry, but I think staff might appreciate a straw poll, perhaps, for lack of that.
A little direction.
A little direction.
Okay, I thought that was given.
Well, it was from one person.
I am in favor of this. We're kind of stuck here. I just looked at the buildable lands report. By 2025, we're going to be 900 short in the city limits and 900 short in the UGA. And we have to accommodate 6,000-8,000 people. And without going into an annexation frenzy, we have to put people where we're charged to put people. And I believe Paul's absolutely right in saying that this is a practical mechanism. Certainly I can see that there will be conflicts in regards to people who anticipated a certain environment and that environment is now subject to change. But I think this is something that we have to do. So that's where I stand. Mr. Brown?
Yes, I agree with you. And I can see some problems ahead. But if we don't do it, we're going to have problems anyway. So I would say let's go ahead with it and get it done.
Okay. Mr. Dirksen?
I guess I do agree with that. I also agree with Commissioner Demarest, the fact that they have this in here, that this 90-day thing, that kind of concerns me. I have been in a situation before that our property was just right outside the city limits, and they said, well, we can hook you up if you pay $20,000 for us to go past your house. And the whole area goes, absolutely not. And then later on, after we sold the house, they came in and said, you have 90 days to put it in, and did it anyway. And there didn't seem to be any line of defense for people that were having financial issues at that point. So even though that said, I do agree we have to do something. And so I would say we need to go ahead, but I still want that noted.
Thank you.
I don't have a problem with it either, but I always like more information, so whatever you bring back.
How about I suggest a straw poll of, much like we did last time for the rezone, is if we, when we bring back findings and conclusions on the 8th, should the findings and conclusions support the Planning Commission's recommendation of approval of the amendments?
Yes.
Yeah.
And no?
I'm ready to commit.
An abstention? Okay.
But clearly there's a majority that's saying go forward.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Do you feel adequately equipped?
Yes, I do.
Now, we will move on to the next item.
Excuse me, Chair. We haven't voted on the closure of the public testimony. You still had a motion.
Yeah, we voted a while back on that. Yeah.
They did do that.
So. No, you had Commissioner Dirksen made the motion to close the public hearing. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Demarest seconded it, and then we didn't vote.
Yeah, we voted, and then we moved on to discussion, but... Shall we not repeat that?
Did you mean the public testimony portion or the public hearing itself?
Public hearing. Yeah.
Oh.
We didn't do the public hearing.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Got the public testimony, but not the hearing.
So Commissioner Dirksen moved that we close it. Commissioner Demarest seconded. All in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the Roosevelt Road rezone. In the introduction, the City of Monroe proposes to rezone approximately 71 acres located adjacent to Roosevelt Road from urban residential 9600 UR 9600 to urban residential 6000 UR 6000. And Brad will give us the latest staff report from this.
Okay, thank you. Following the public hearing at the last Planning Commission meeting on March 11th, the Planning Commission had a four to two vote to condition the rezone on the development of the property from Roosevelt Road East, and also a 5-1 motion that if that was not possible to do, to bring back findings and conclusions supporting a recommendation of approval of the rezone. We discussed that issue with the city attorney, and his description of it was fitting a square peg into a round hole, is that he's never heard of a conditioning of a legislative action, which is an area-wide non-project action rezone of multiple properties over a large area. The conditioning of something is to be done on a project-specific development in order to ensure that the project complies with applicable regulatory standards and to mitigate its external impacts. He said it might have been possible to condition the rezone if the determination of non-significance was a mitigated determination of non-significance, and one of the mitigation measures was that condition, which did not happen, and there was no appeal filed on the determination of non-significance. The only way he could see of doing that was actually to adopt separate amendments to the city's development code that would impose a road access standard, which basically already exists if you think that the Appendix D, Section 107 of the International Fire Code, which already states that developments have to have the second access if they have more than 30 units, except for exception number 2, which allows existing non-compliance to be continued if the development provides for future extension to that second access, which is what the current proposal shows for the subsequent subdivision of the property after the rezone. So his recommendation or opinion was that you cannot condition a legislative rezone with that condition. So with that in mind, I brought back findings and and conclusions and a recommendation that are attached to the cover sheet, finding that the proposed rezone is in the public benefit and recommends the recommendation of approval from the Planning Commission to the City Council to rezone that area.
Thank you. Any discussion? Commissioner Durkin.
Brad, thank you for that. So the city attorney said that it would be like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, or something to that effect. And then in his opinion, it was something that could not be done, practically speaking. Did he have anything that he based that conclusion on other than his opinion? I mean, were there any references or citations or sections of law that
just that he's never heard of that happening, of a legislative action being conditioned. Basically, you would be creating a new zone in the city zoning code because you have a city-initiated area-wide rezone that we're moving it to the zoning that it's... We're picking one of the city zones and the regulations that go with that. So to change the regulations on a city-initiated rezone would basically be creating a new zone. And as opposed to a project-specific action, which it's one person, you're actually... Someone's asked the city to do something, and the city can condition that. But no one's asked the city to do this. The city is doing this on their own as a result of the comprehensive plan change that was done in 2010.
So the new zone, which would be an iteration of the original zone, would be different simply because of access issues. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'd be a development standard for the zone.
Carry with it development standards regarding access. Yeah. Thank you.
So does that make it then a different shade of a color on the map?
Yes.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just... And your staff say, well, it's just a change in color of the map. And I just have a really hard time with that concept because it is a change in what happens with that land, any way we look at it. All right, thank you.
Commissioner Robin?
Thank you. Brad, once development starts, and recommendations for infrastructure could take place at that time, is that right?
Correct. As a project-specific level, is the, in staff's opinion, the appropriate time to place conditions on development.
Okay. All right. And so, Paul, you feel that the regulations that are already in place for any project are certainly adequate to ensure that concerns are addressed at that time in that venue?
I do. I believe that as development occurs in the Roosevelt Road area, particularly the projects that are the project in the pipeline now, will directly address the access issue and it will be resolved project by project.
And there will be a public hearing before the hearing examiner?
Yes.
At which point concerns can be voiced?
Yes, and that is also the venue for crafting conditions to the approval of the subdivision as opposed to the rezoning. Okay. Conditions specific to that subdivision.
Thank you. Commissioner Gillis.
So then what I'm hearing you say, Paul, is that any concerns about public safety, health, public safety, public health, safety, and welfare will be addressed at the development stage. And if there is no way that a plat such as has been bandied about, talked about in this rezone area, could in fact develop with its sole point of access through the front or through the foothills.
Theoretically, yes, it could happen. In actuality, it's not going to happen with this initial development proposal as this is rezoned.
And how can you tell us that?
Just based on work that has been done with this subdivision plan.
Could they change their mind?
They could.
And then the city would have no ability to force the issue.
The city would need to deal with the issue if it is changed to avoid the issue or changed to not have that secondary access.
And which the city could do that.
Pardon me?
And the city could do that.
Well, if the project meets the code, if it technically meets the code, it could possibly be built without a secondary access.
So perhaps I should rephrase the question. Would a project up in this rezone area be able to meet the city's current development regulations without access off of Roosevelt Road if their only access was through the foothills?
I possibly could.
With or without the rezone?
Yes, with or without.
Grant.
Yeah.
Grant, I understand.
Yes.
Mr. Robin. Yes, I do believe we can do it though with the fire department. The fire department has control over the. They have a say on this too, on every development. So
they have a say, but there is the exemption in Appendix D, Section 107 of the International Fire Code that says that if you provide for future access to the secondary point, you don't have to do it immediately.
I remember from previous discussion that the existing access would not meet today's code, but you're saying there is this exception that could potentially be applied.
Correct.
Okay. The exception does allow for approval based on a extended future extension. Extension that has to be built to the edge of the subdivision today, much like the foothills has and other places. But there is no time requirement where that actually has to be completed to an access point like Roosevelt Road.
So then it's a roll of the dice if the hearing examiner puts a condition that says there shall be no subdivision without secondary access to Roosevelt Road.
Well, currently, there is a mitigated determination of non-significance that has been issued for the pending plat that does not have one of those conditions. It does not condition that. That's been appealed, and the appellants are able to go to the hearing examiner and present their case. The city will present our case. The hearing examiner will look at case law, previous decisions by other people, the Minobi Municipal Code, the International Fire Code, and make a decision on whether or not that's required.
Okay, I believe we're getting a little too far into the project issues here. So any further discussion concerning the rezone?
Yes.
Commissioner Demers.
We're talking about currently 3.63 units per acre allowed in the current zoning. We're talking about an increase potentially to 5.81 units per acre. To me, that's a significant change. Now, granted, there may be constraints presented by parts of the rezone area that will affect whether that happens or not and to what extent it happens. But I think I've sat up here long enough to know that if we don't look at the what ifs, they can come back to bite us. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being told that we can't do this as far as a condition on a rezone. I'm being told by the city's attorney indirectly that he hasn't heard of it being done and in his opinion it won't work. But I'm not hearing anything specific to say that we can't do it. In light of that, I'm not going to change my position as far as whether I support or oppose this rezone. I'm going to continue to vote no, or in the form of a recommendation to council. And for those reasons, I don't believe that it meets the city's ordinance, the rezone ordinance, requiring that the property satisfactorily meet the requirement of meeting, I'll quote again, beneficial to the public health, safety, and welfare, and is in the public interest. We heard 2 weeks ago that the public interest was the city as a whole, but I truly do believe that the public interest is also the community as it relates to the area of the city that we're talking about, and we can't disregard that. So. But I appreciate your checking. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, I believe it's time to
entertain a motion or a recommendation to the City Council.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to make a motion if no one else will. I'll move that the Planning Commission recommend against approval of the rezone request unless a condition can be imposed upon that rezone that primary access for any development within the rezone area be provided off of Roosevelt Road, and that primary access be for not only ultimate build-out and use, but also construction.
Does everybody understand the motion? Any discussion?
Need a second for the motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion? Motion fails for lack of a second. Does anybody here make another motion?
I move to forward a recommendation of approval based on foregoing findings and conclusions to City Council for RZ 2011-01 Roosevelt Road rezone as per attachment 1. Is that right?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Mr. Chairman. As already indicated, I'll be voting against the motion. I would just like the record to reflect the reasons I've already offered as to why I'm voting against the motion and what I had seen as an acceptable resolution to this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye. Nay.
So to recapitulate, the motion was passed to forward recommendation of approval to the City Council based on foregoing findings and conclusions to the City Council for RZ 2011-01 Roosevelt Road rezone as per attachment 1. Those in favor are Commissioners Dirksen, Sherwood, Rodman, and Tuttle. Opposed, Commissioner Demers. Let's take a little break. We have to move, take a break.
No, I don't know. We've never done that before. I don't think we made a motion or anything before. I think we just said, let's take a break. I think you can do this like that.
That's your disposal.
We are going to take a break.
Okay. Brad?
Yes.
I don't know why, but this computer works awful hard all the time.
Yeah.
The drive is flashing constantly, unlike these next to me.
Item on the agenda is the Monroe Sign Code, Monroe Municipal Code 18.80. The sign code is being reviewed and updated to clarify code language, address citywide consistency, understandable permitting requirements, new sign technology, consistent enforcement practices, and other potential code improvements. And Paul is going to bring this item to us.
Thank you. We actually started working on this in February of last year. Staff level. I think we talked to the commission about this about that time as well. The recent history is that the commission had a public hearing on February 25th, and you met on March 11th and took action on several items where there were questions. including sign area in the general commercial zone, the mixed use zone, the limited highway signage, murals, and really brought to a, pretty much to a closure the sign code. And we have prepared findings and conclusions that support a recommendation to approve this for recommendation to council. I have brought tonight, or included in the packet, a what I'll call the final draft, clean version of the entire code, the existing table, which was prepared some time ago, and the what I'll call the final document subject to any last changes tonight if there are any other issues out there. I might mention the Scenic Vista Act. There was a comment from DOT as communities change their sign code, they incorporate this into the code. And it's basically a blanket act over, let's see, the Highway 2 and the 203 highway corridors. But most or all of the regulations that affect signage and area and so forth are exempt within city limits because they're simply not enforced or applied in city limits. They realize that within a commercial area of a city, you can't apply scenic vista restrictions. It's really geared towards billboards more than anything from way back in 1965. So, this materials you got tonight reflect the changes from March 11th that you took action on, and barring any further changes tonight, we're prepared to take it forward.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Roberts.
Yes, it's the Seattle sign code is a whole bunch different than anybody saw this, the news tonight. But again, one building down there, it's completely lit up, and one all around, I guess, around the corner, too. The whole thing, all glass, of course. And it's all lights.
It's a mirror thing, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of like a thing.
I think it's art, too.
It's a art. Yeah. Under that, I would like to make a motion for just recommendation to the City Council to approve, based on the foregoing findings, inclusion zoning code amendment, ZCA 2012-04, as per attachment 2, proposed MMC, title 1880 sign code, attachment 3, proposed sign illustrations and attachment, proposed sign designation guidelines. I think that's it, that all.
That was a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Sure. Based on the amount of discussion so far, I'm just going to arbitrarily vote against the motion. There's a few other items I for one would like to discuss. I think that it might be a little bit premature to jump into a motion. But we are in the midst of a motion, so that's my discussion on the motion.
Any other discussion?
Well, can you say, can we discuss the, can't we just discuss the things that are concerning before we move on to voting?
I believe we have to discuss the motion to resolve that, do we not?
I believe you can discuss potential amendments to the motion. If the group agrees to go ahead and the commissioners agree to amend the motion to reflect some changes that you're looking for.
203. Are you speaking of things that would be too extensive to amend the motion that's on the table?
Well, I don't know that it makes too extensive to amend the motion, but I think it might be a little cumbersome. I for one, would like to see the motion withdraw pending a little further discussion, and perhaps resubmit a little bit of a motion at that point.
Commissioner Rodman?
I'm not sure. I think we worked this into death already. Let's have a vote on but we're done. No problem.
Okay, I think maybe the most prudent way to proceed is to take a vote on the motion that's on the table. All in favor of the motion made by Commissioner Rodman and seconded by Commissioner Dirksen, say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed?
Opposed?
Nay. Motion passes.
As a dissenting vote, can I, for the record, make a few comments as to why I voted against it? Number one, we have new material introduced tonight in the form of the Scenic Vistas Act. I don't know how that does or doesn't affect it. I had a little brief time to take a look at the RCW. It seems to me that it does apply to cities, but it may only apply to part of Monroe with respect to Iowa 2. I'm not clear on that. I was hoping to get a better understanding of that. I continued to have some concerns with sign height, in particular 45 feet over by the car dealerships, and also with the 35 feet on Highway 2. I understand that the AutoZone sign, which is up at the corner of North Kelsey and Highway 2, is at 30 feet. It's a very tall sign compared to most everything else up there, and I think that that deserves a little further consideration. There's also an item in the table, I think, that needs clarification, and that is that we've identified the intersection of Main Street and Highway 522 in two different zoning districts, and I don't believe that's correct. We've got it identified as allowing the 45-foot high signs in the municipal or mixed-use commercial zone, which is on page 25, and also in the same location as identified in the general service commercial zone on page 26. So I would have hoped that before we would have acted on a motion that we could have at least addressed that potential mistake. And I understand that that can be cleared up, I think, administratively. But that said, my concerns remain with regard to sign height, as mentioned, and also a complete or almost complete lack of understanding of impact that the scenic, whatever it was called, the Scenic Vistas Act may or may not have on our sign ordinance. Those are my reasons for why we're going to see a motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Rodman.
One of the reasons that it is, because I've been contacted by a few larger business people in town here, and they wanted to get it done and over with, and so I did.
Three. Thank you. If I could make... I think it's okay under discussion. Paul, on page 2 of 3, under the conclusion at the bottom, it says the proposed rezone, and I just want to make sure that says proposed sign code update, if, just for the record. At the bottom of the page.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Roosevelt on my mind. If I may, in regards to the Scenic Vista, I had several conversations with WashDOT on that, and there are several different types of signage, and they also admit that it's an extremely unclear and somewhat complicated code. But he was very direct in stating that there would be no restrictions that would affect, within the city, would affect our code and what our code allows, because that was a concern of mine early on after I did a very quick reading of that Scenic Vista Act. But that's my understanding.
Commissioner Williams.
Paul, thank you for that. The 4742140, which it seems I can't open now because of, once again, parental controls have stopped me. As I understood it, defined the scenic areas of Highway 2 as starting at Woods Creek and extending eastward. So it seemed pretty clear that there would, in fact, be impacts, if you look at the code, on at least that part of Highway 2. And I do believe that's 4742140, if you're looking at it with respect to Highway 2. So, again, I think I had questions. I wanted to come to the vote and move forward
So be it. We're done.
Thank you.
Once again.
Next item on the agenda is the 2013 Planning Commission Work Program. And Paul will be bringing that to us.
Yes, we took this 2013 work program, actually met with council last week, and they did take action to approve this work program. We have simplified the program and the format in what's like the sheet says. What it's basically about are the comprehensive plan amendments and a major code revision to reformat, reorganize, restructure the existing development code, several chapters, and a simplified entry for development applications, which will be done as they come in. And there was at the council's request an item added for building heights in the PS zone. But starting from the top, there are comp plan amendments that we're proposing for this year. The first that you see is East Monroe. They have engaged a firm to prepare a full environmental impact statement. I recall the hearing examiner upheld the appeal of the phased EIS last year, which basically put that East Monroe application on hold. And the action that the city council took to approve the comprehensive plan amendment was later repealed. And so that has been that East Monroe project has been in this holding pattern for some time. But they have begun this environmental impact statement and submitted a request to reinitiate the process. So with that EIS being submitted, it does bring it back. And it will be coming back to the commission for your consideration this summer. So it is back again, because they have responded to the hearing examiner's ruling to address that appeal and carry forward with the EIS, which brings the project back for reconsideration. The other is, we've talked about this, I think, before, briefly at least, that some amendments to each element of the comp plan in terms of text amendments. And this is really an exercise to do some cleanup work before we fully engage a consultant on the 2015 comp plan update. We want to start with a clean slate, basically remove language that is no longer relevant or work that has been completed, so that there's a better start on the 15 update. And we'll be coming back to commission within a few weeks with a proposed scope of work and schedule for that update, and we're going to be looking to hire a consultant team to do that work. The Unified Development Code, I mentioned, school mitigation fees is on this work program, but the commission did complete your work back in October with a recommendation, and the council elected to delay a decision until other impact fees could be considered in concert with the school mitigation fees, a more complete package of looking at an impact fee. So at some point that will be coming back for council review. Talked about the 2015 update, development applications. There was a request for some direction to consider this code amendment specifically for building heights in the zone we are currently sitting in here, the public open space zone. There had been some discussions between the city and Evergreen Community College and the Monroe School District to consider building a joint facility for all three. The college is looking at a major expansion, and the school district has been, I think, talking for some time about newer relocated school administration headquarters. And this would be a code amendment that would consider raising building heights in the PS zone. We can't raise it for just this property if this is where it might be built. We have to do it by the zone. And so that is a specific item that's on this programming. And there are two things that we're looking to postpone and roll into the 2015 update. That's the city gateway districts that we've talked about before, and the system plan updates. The plan updates, really logically, that's going to be done in great detail in the 2015 update, and it's much more logical and efficient to do it as a part of that process. With the gateway districts, it's more a matter of a shortage of staff, resources, and time to do that work now, and I think it will work quite well in the 2015 process, where we will be talking about a much, you know, a community-wide plan that will incorporate the city gateway districts as a part of that planning process. I think it's a more appropriate place for it. Plus, of course, we just simply don't have the resources to do it now. So that's what we have for a 2013 work program. Very heavy on the comp plan in terms of the text amendments and the 15 update. That update is going to keep this group very busy for the better part of a year and a half. I'd be happy to take some questions, thoughts.
The UBC, Uniform Building Code, or Unified Development Code, I'm sorry, UDC. I thought I recently heard, and I could be entirely wrong, that some jurisdictions are actually moving back away from the UDC because they found it problematic. Was I misinterpreting something I've heard? Staff, are you that, not heard anything like that?
Yeah. We just find it problematic the way it is now that you have regulations regarding the same thing in multiple locations, which makes it very hard for developers when they read something and go, okay, this is how I do it.
Right.
They come in and it's kind of like, uh-huh, gotcha. You forgot to read this chapter over here, which says something slightly different.
And they will be misunderstood what I was hearing.
Okay.
So,
there are definitely many areas where there are conflicts and contradictions of the same item in different chapters.
I understand that. Certainly.
That's a big, big part of this.
Thank you. That's all.
Anybody else?
No actions required. This is for your consideration, but council has approved the work program at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Any final discussion by staff? Do you want to give a brief update on the search for our firm?
Yes. We had interviews last Friday. We started with about 30 applicants, and we asked for supplemental submittals, questions from 6, and we ended up with a pool of 4 that we invited for interviews last Friday. We did have one candidate that was a unanimous choice of the interview group, and we'll know more hopefully within a couple of days on the status of that.
Thank you. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Commissioner Tuttle?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Rodney?
I have nothing.
Commissioner Rivers?
2 things. 1, any status on our NTC? For the planning commissioner?
We haven't had any interest for some time.
So I know that I believe Mr. Berger had applied. I know that he was attending some meetings for a while and expressed interest. So no one else had applied besides that?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you. The other thing is I just, even though I really disagree with the outcome this evening on the sign ordinance,
I would like to say I think that the work that was done by everyone, both commissioners and especially by staff, was huge. And there was a lot of progress made in a lot of important areas, and I just want to say thank you to the staff for that. Especially during the difficult times of surrounding parts of it.
Commissioner Rodman.
Could I make a suggestion that the staff recommended the city council to maybe take to do some changing on this application for appointment to us here? And there's some businessmen in the town that own their businesses but live outside the town. And I think that a person like that, a businessman especially, or a group of them, would do more good for us here than a lot of the applicants would. And I'd like to have their opinion of that. And they can change if they have to.
Thank you.
One in the UGA. Yeah. Now we do allow one commissioner who is not a resident of the city but is a resident of the UGA. And this, don't you qualify for that?
I don't.
I've always found if you can find a person who is really busy, which most businessmen are the best people to get to do that.
Just a quick comment on that. That would be appropriate for a motion to be made. And so there was actual direction from the Planning Commission to request that of the City Council.
Well, I would make that motion then that we do request the Council to look into a possible change in the ordinance? Mm-hmm. And to allow a person has owns a business and lives within the area have a chance to be appointed to the commission.
One question. May we entertain motions on things that are not on the agenda?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a second to that?
I'd be willing to offer a friendly amendment to the motion if that might help Black in a second.
And that would be?
And that would be that I concur completely with Commissioner Rodman. I wouldn't limit it to a business owner. I would suggest that the ordinance be amended so that the council could, if they chose to, appoint one or perhaps a maximum of two members to the commission, regardless of residency status. And that way, then the council would have complete discretion to pick and choose. And it would provide a greater degree of flexibility in their ability to fill a position. So I would offer that as a friendly amendment to the motion.
I'd go along with that. Amenable to that.
I'd go along with that.
And I would second it.
So the amended motion is now made by Commissioner Rodman and seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any discussion?
This is a motion to send a recommendation to the council. Well, having been through this whole discussion before, I will vote against it because I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So, I remember having this discussion, and it's not a favorable one for
different
council members.
Different council
members. Not really. Not really.
It never hurts to suggest.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. Commissioner Burke?
Nothing.
Then I would entertain a motion to adjourn the March 25th, 2013, the Rural Planning Commission meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion to adjourn made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Rodman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And I want to thank everybody.